Peter 1. Now remember, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday will be the fellowship meeting at Brother Conshane's. My wife and I are not planning on going because it's just a little problem there, and it tacks into where I want to make sure and get these services true on Sunday, you know, and take both of them together to kind of get a point to you what I'm driving at. So my wife and I won't be going. You be glad for you to go, you know, and hope you do. And I only just greet the saints for us, but we won't be going, okay? Remember, Wade and June will be leaving Friday to Arizona to be with Brother Long out there and helping ministering for that. So keep those in mind. Any other announcements? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. Thank you that, Lord, no matter what it is in the day that we're living, the time, no matter how bad it gets, we can still look to you. Amen. We can see you and let you manifest yourself among us in a mighty way. We love you and we thank you, and we ask you to just come now and minister your word unto each one of us. And Father, lead us that we may speak what you have for us to be said. Remember the sick among us. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So heal those that are in. Lord, we know that we're human and we're going to have problems. We're going to be sick and things like that. But we have some that are seriously into situations that need you, Lord. So we just ask you to reach down and touch each one and just have your way. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? Let's go over to 1 Peter 1, and we'll begin reading the 13th verse through, I guess, the 25th. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's supposed to be a grace brought to us at a revelation. So grace and revelation has got to go together. That's, if you don't get anything of the night, you get that part. Grace and revelation has to be interlocked with each other. You know, because that's where it is. All right. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. See, it won't do it. That won't redeem you, right? Is that what it's saying? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, it won't work. It don't matter what we think of this, that, or the other, it won't work. All right? From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of him as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now watch him. And this is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. All right, you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. All right. Now, I really enjoyed this past weekend with Brother Forney. I thought he'd done a marvelous job and everything. We appreciate everything. Just pray the Lord would lead us on in your love. All right. Now, we've been talking about the new birth, our salvation, and knowing that the new birth consists of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They asked Brother Branham in the questions and answers, is it required for you to have these three stages? He said, absolutely. All right. No matter if you think you received it at one time or if it took you 20 years to get it, no matter what, you're going to have to go through. That's my point to say to you, all of us. If we received it at one time, praise God. If it took us 20 years, praise God. If it took us 3.5 years like the disciple, praise God. All right. But see, we got to do it. And ever what it is, it has to go through those three stages. And all I've been trying to do is to show you what those stages are and try to compare them to our natural, you know, our lives in our journey. Because that's why I believe the disciples, that they were 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus before they received the new birth. That was not necessary, I mean, was necessary for them, but it was laid there for you and me. If we want to know something about the way that it takes place, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what the disciples went through. All right. Then we can go to other things and say, well, then 3,000 the same day received. Well, that's great. Wonderful. I believe in that. I believe you can go through it, but we have to quote the prophet. You say, well, you're quoting him for your own benefit. Okay. Okay. I'm doing it for my own benefit. The prophet said very few people would ever believe all the way. Okay? Now, that's his wording. Now, if that de-Christianizes any of us in our thoughts, then we know one thing for sure. I mean, it's the fact that we don't have it if it makes us upset about what we do or what we don't do or whatever, you know. All right. Now, we covered that it would take the three stages because even the last three ages, Brother Branham said in the third seal, paragraph 169, the last age, three ages completed the new birth. See, the ages had to be in correct order for it to come out for us to be in correct order. So then it was a completion of it by coming through for justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, gave those on Azusa Street the new birth. Amen. Then the prophet had to come to bring us the word. They had the word for their age and time. Okay? They were already preaching a lot of great things. Your oneness doctrines and different things were already there before the prophet came into, you know, on the scene. All right. But the thing of it is, they asked him, and we covered that, you know, about it, that there was loose ends left. And one of those loose ends, if you're reading what I gave you, that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said it's loose ends. All right. The prophet had to come to tie together the loose ends to where that we could be ready for the rapture, as he said. All right. Now, see, then according to Malachi 4, Brother Brown says birth pains, paragraph 170, 172, that the bride is to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. So there's your new birth of the, there's your loose ends to be taken up by Malachi 4 and placed in an order to bring us the complete birth or to finish our birth, placing it into order. And that's why the prophet had to come. And there would have been no way for it to ever took place if the prophet hadn't come on the scene. When he came on the scene, he started right where the Azusa Street was. He started with them and came up, because that's what I love about the message. It has the greatest of all answers could be thought of. I'll get to one in a second where the prophet says something. All right. The last three ages then completed the birth and left it to where that this age could come to full maturity or to adoption, as we'll get to it later, the stature of a perfect man, the things that would have to be in this age. They would not be there in Luther's age or Wesley's age or Azusa Street, you know, Pentecost. But it would be in this day, because they without us cannot be made perfect. So they're waiting on us to come to a place of fulfilling or completing that birth. All right? So then, you know, that's the point to where we need to stand. We're talking a while ago outside a little bit about it. That those without us cannot be made perfect. Do we believe that? All right, now let me ask you if you believe this. About the 11th hour workers. The 11th hour workers got the same pay as the first hour, right? You know why? Because they without us cannot be made perfect. So they're waiting on me and you to reach that place to bring them out of the ground. And that's why you don't see in there that they're all mad because they didn't get the same pay. There's no emphasis related to that story that you'll read to think that they were mad because I had to work all the time. And they just went in on free ride. No, they didn't go free ride. The last part of that age, or the last part of that day is hard. Amen. Because everything's got to be gathered, got to be brought in and lined up, and everything got to be cleaned up. Okay, we get on to that, so you think about it. All right, we talked about the prophet saying, the seal book, paragraph 54 on the third seal, that there is a mysterious part of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As I said, he covered, if you'll take it and go back to it, to where that this messenger is to tie up all the loose ends. One of those loose ends was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because people had cabbage down on it and everything else had happened. That was one of the mysteries. The mysteries of what? The Baptist says it's this. The Methodist says it's that. The Presbyterian says it's that. We say it's this. The Branhamites say it's that. What is it? They're the mysterious part of the new birth. Just a simple part of being born again. All right? There's mysteries there. In other words, a mystery is something that is hidden that has to be made known. All right? See, then you'll see one day why it says they then, without us, cannot be made perfect. Because they never reached the perfection that was needed to be down through the ages. God's waiting on you and I. Okay. Now, that's how important the new birth is. We covered the mysterious part. I hope you've listened to what I was saying, that under justification, it's in three stages. Your sins are chopped off by repentance and believing. Then you go on in your being chopped off. You go on to the basis that you've done it with Christ, invisible union. You find that it's as though you never done it. See, chopping off your past sin just chops that off, does nothing to the future. But justification under the mysterious part of unveiling it brings it to the basis that we can see that we done it. We done it. God has an exact right to condemn every one of us and kill us. But instead of doing that, he covers it because he forgives our sins. And this is though you never done it. All right. Then he comes to the basis of saying the real you, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, never did do it. That to me is a great mystery. That's a great opportunity for weeks and weeks or months or years for preaching. And you know how I'm on one topic. I get on something like this. I can stay on it for years. It don't bother me. I know it bothers you, but Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about, because if you did, you'd be rejoicing, saying, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Preach some more about it. Yes. I get some that says I'm bored, and I get others that say, don't stop. Don't quit, Brother Dale. Keep repeating yourself over and over until we get it. Okay. So where do I go? I go down the line. All right. We covered sanctification in three stages. How that you're sanctified by the fact of your repentance and casting out of the unclean spirit and all like that, and how your sins are gone. Yep. All right. Then we covered that there's a daily sanctification in your growth development. A daily sanctification, Paul said. I die daily. See, he knew that he had to keep himself under subjection. Right? The prophet said, I have to do that. You just think of all that he faced. You think he didn't have to die daily. All right. But see, went through daily sanctification. Then we went through sanctification, even under the seals that would bring it to the basis that even the world will be sanctified, cleansed, and set aside to be able to be used, even in starting to be used in the millennium. It has to go into that part. All right. Then we covered the baptism of the Holy Ghost in three stages, the new birth, where you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he comes and lives in you, giving you eternal life. All right. Then it comes to, and we'll get to it later on the adoption. The adoption to where that you and I have to be adopted into the family. All right. Then it comes to the complete final baptism of the Holy Ghost for man in the world to cleanse us and make us to be totally pure. Amen. All right. What happens then? Then God does this because he wants to fill every fiber of the church. Amen. That was the last there on what I was on the other Wednesday, I guess. All right. Fill every fiber. All right. Fill every fiber. That's what he wants to do.
Amen.
Because in doing that, well, Brother Dale, I thought I got everything. That's what the Baptist said, and Brother Run said they're wrong. See, you say, I got everything when I believe. That's not according to Scripture. That's contrary to the Bible and the prophet. Huh? You say, well, that's not me. Well, that's between you and God. That ain't nothing to me. I'm not your Savior. But I am one thing. If you claim me to be your pastor, you're going to hear from me. Because if I'm going to take the responsibility of being the pastor, I'm going to take the responsibility of saying it the way I believe it. All right? And if you don't want it that way, then, hey, help yourself. Go somewhere else. Do what you want to. I have no problems against anybody. I ain't never tried to run nobody off. But it's kind of like one brother done. We preached with him 30 years, and he left, and he said, sat in the office with me, and he said, Brother Dale, I'm leaving. I said, okay, that's your choice. He said, and I'll never say nothing against you to anybody in any way. I said, okay, brother, that's good. You know, about 3 or 4 months later, he was telling people that called him and talking to him, if you'll come and ask me why I left, I'll tell you. Well, I thought he wasn't going to say nothing against me. Okay. Forget it. You see, that's where I just let the whole thing ride, because it ain't going to change me on that. All right. But now let's get to something, because I want you to think about this new birth. Now, I'm going to approach it funny, go up to a spot, and try to get you to believe it. I'm thinking about it. All right. Now, to a lot of people, the new birth, that they get the new birth when they believe. Now, I'm giving an overall view of the world system religion part and, you know, and in this message part. Okay? A lot of people think you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you believe. All right? Okay. Are you with me now? Then others believe you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit until the headstone comes. Now, that's basically people of the message, because the denomination don't know anything about that. All right? But you see what I'm talking about. Look at the vast difference of what people can say they believe. People say they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they believe. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he accepted me and gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. But Brother Branham said there was a lot believed and didn't get it. He said, and you say you shouted. He said, there was a lot shouted and didn't get it. He said, you say you got the baptism. He said, you can have it every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell. It's time to think over the things the prophet is saying. And that's what I'm trying to do. Because the prophet is covering things to give us an opportunity. Because that's what I've always believed and taught you this way. That the, down through the ages, the disciples, that's why I believe it the way I do. I believe the Apostle Paul taught adoption, et cetera, different things. Peter doesn't mention basically the word adoption. He may say it or something, but he doesn't go deal in that. Paul deals with adoption. But now Peter, he deals with the stature of a perfect man. In other words, Paul, I've always taught you this. Paul tells us how to go up the stature, or from the new birth up to the stature of a perfect man, to the change of the body. Paul tells us that. But Peter tells us how. Peter gives us the directions of how it's to be done. So they both brought it together in a wonderful situation. I love it when Brother Branham said it this way. He said Paul and Peter were no difference in doctrine. I love that, because you read sometimes, read Peter and he sounds like he's against Paul. Read Paul, sound like he's against Peter. But the prophet said, no, they wasn't. He said, they're teaching the same identical thing. All right, now. So, where do we fit? Where do we fit? Do we get born again somewhere here below the pyramid as far as what's called faith? Is that the point of just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we get the new birth there? Or do we get the new birth when it comes up to the pyramid at the top? Well, there's teachings in this message that way. Teaching you this message say you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost. Well, Brother Run said we did. So, see, I get people upset at me because I say that. But hey, remember one thing. I'm the pastor. I'm going to say it the way I believe it. If you don't want it, come to my office. We'll sit down and talk about it. But make sure you bring your equipment with you. Don't come in there to me and say, Brother Dale, I don't agree with you, but I don't know where it's at and what it is. I just don't agree with you. Don't waste my time or your time. Just leave it alone. Tell me where I'm off. All right? Because I'm going to tell you why I don't agree with it. All right? When I get up here and say, this is what I believe, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove it by what I believe. All right. So I do not believe that you're born again just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the full eternal life. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ just doesn't give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. But neither do I believe you got to wait up to the top and get the headstone and all of that to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. That's right. Amen. I believe there's a truth in between there. Amen. I believe the truth is in between there. Because right. Listen, I've got it written down and I'll get back to it later and I'll get this point. But you ever notice Brother Branham saying? He said, I firmly believe. Let's see. You must be born again. He said, I firmly believe that you are born again and then baptized into the body. Well, what are you going to say? Well, I'm born again, I'm baptized into the body. No. What are you going to say? I'm going to say he's right in both statements. Because for me to try to correct him, that won't work. So for me to try to understand. So then you just take a statement he makes. You are born again by the new birth that places you into the body of Christ. And then you are positionally placed in the body for the gifts. Adoption and the things. So he's right. All right. And see, when you say, well, justification, Brother Dale, I got where the prophet said justification, said I saved. Amen.
Sure.
I believe that. Always taught it that way.
Yeah.
Well, that sure don't sound like what you, well, you ain't listening.
That's right.
Because you see, when your sin is truly forgiven you, now I'm quoting Brother Branham, if you want these, I'll help you find them. If you're truly repentant of your sins and died in that position, you're going to heaven.
That's
what he said. But now that, he'll tell you in another place, that don't put you in the body of Christ. So you're going to the white throne. It don't give you eternal life to just repent of your sins. But if you die in that state, now remember that to later, don't misquote me. If you die in the state of the point that you have been repentant of your sins and you've come even to sanctification. Sanctification not being the new birth. It's only a way to come to the new birth. But sanctification, even if you're justified and sanctified. If you die in that state, yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, but you are not going to be in the bride. Because you've not received eternal life. You don't get eternal life at justification. You're confessing something. You don't get eternal life at sanctification. You're confessing something. You get eternal life at the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. All right. And only those who have the new birth, the prophet said, is the ones who qualify for the rapture. All right? So now then, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe if you come to the altar and repent of your sins, and you die in that state. Now, I said die in that state, and it's genuine. Now, don't make me to just somebody come up, I want to be saved. Okay, you're saved. But no, no, a genuine experience of justification is all that chops off your past sins. A halfway soused up little, well, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? That ain't going to give you eternal life. That's why the prophet made that statement out of love. He said, you say I've accepted Jesus Christ. He said, but has he accepted you? See, he said if he accepts you, he'll give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, are you with me now? So on which end of the scale are we? Some believe you get born again down here somewhere below the pyramid. And then others believe you don't get born again until you come up to the headstone. All right. So which one are we going to go with? All right. Let's go with something that is so wonderful and marvelous. How that prophet could talk about things in such of a way that a child could understand him of what he's saying, but yet baffle the theological, or what you would call it, realm of mankind. So simple. Did he make it so simple till the people couldn't follow what he's saying? Well, I got him over here where he says this, and I got him over here where he says this. Well, just hold on a little while. It'll come together.
Yeah.
And you'll find out he's saying the same thing.
Right.
And if he ain't saying the same thing, you and I'd have no right to try to correct him to say he was right or wrong or whatever it is, because we're not the prophet.
Right.
All right. So I don't care who it is that you're going to quote said so-and-so. If you're going to quote me, remember, you better quote me right. Sure. I believe if you repent of your sins and die in that state, you're going to get eternal life, but you're not born again. You're going to go to the white throne judgment and receive eternal life as a foolish virgin. Okay? Show me anywhere else it can be. So now let's just take something that the prophet said. Go ahead, brothers, over to number 6. See, you'll see these others we were quoting, re-quoting. I want you to read this little statement. Number 6 on the Messiah, 61:117. They keep reminding me to give these dates. I notice I've got where that I say something and don't give the dates that it's on. You know, I give the title. It's on there for them, and they ought to know it. But still, some ain't there, and that's all right. All right. Now, for instance, when a man gets saved, now, Brother Dale, what happened to me when I got saved? The prophet's going to tell you. I love his way of telling us. Because you know what? He tells us in a way that it can be attained unto.
Yes, that's right.
He doesn't make it to where it can't be attained unto.
Amen.
I mean, I hate it for somebody to come up and say, we're going to go run a race. What is it? The guy 4-minute mile?
Yeah.
He's already broke that, and there's probably some broke that behind him. Well, I ain't going to get in the race because I can't run that far. First off, I couldn't make it the mile. But second off, I certainly couldn't follow him in the speed he runs. But let's just slow down and listen to what the prophet says. Let him explain what happened to you and to me at the new birth. Let him explain it. He said, now, for instance, when a man gets saved, he's just about like the light that comes into him is about like this little white button on my shirt. I thought you're so full. I thought you come in and all this. You better listen to him. The light that comes into him is about like this little white button on my shirt. That's when God comes into the inner part of a man. Now, of course, we'll stop here to express something. You say, for instance, when a man gets, oh, well, that's just when he got repented of his sins. He didn't say that. So don't you think that. Well, that was when you just get repented. He didn't say that. Let's let him talk. The light that comes into him is about like this little white button on a shirt. That's when God comes into the inner part of a man. I like that, don't you? Not in his body, not in his spirit, but the inner part. In the inner part of a man, or a man is made up in the system of a tabernacle. The outer courts, and then the holy place, and the holiest of holies. There's a kind of glory on the inside, the veil. Now, on the outside gates of a man is 5 senses that enters into his body on the inside, which is his soul, now watch him, or the soul is the nature of the spirit that's on the inside of his heart, okay, produces his soul. You realize what's in you coming outwardly comes from your soul? And it produces it outwardly, what we do? Come on, listen. The soul is the nature of the spirit that's on the inside of his heart, produces his soul, which makes the atmosphere around him. He has also 5 entrances. Then on the inside, he has only 1 gate, 1 entrance to go into this kind of glory, where God can enter into him and take over in the control tower. That way is through self-will. Whether you will to or not, that's up to you. But that's the only avenue that's open to the man that God can come into his heart is by self-will. Puts him right back like Adam and Eve. Would you like to be back like Adam and Eve? Not after the fall now. Would you like to be back like Adam and Eve? Brother Rhino spoke a word written of seed. He said, that brings us back like Adam and Eve, like it was in the original. Well, okay. Puts him right back like Adam and Eve on the free moral agency. You can choose right or wrong, either one you want to. Now, self-will. Then God comes down into the man, into the heart, which is the spirit. All right. Then the spirit makes a soul, and the soul dwells in the body. Now, when a man is converted, say, just like that little white button, starts in his heart. Now, we're going to read something here that's going to, I want to see if you believe it. White button starts in his heart. Now, that part is God. So where's the little white button? In your heart, your soul. And that part is God.
Amen.
Right. Okay? Everybody with me? When he's born again with the Spirit of God, God's Spirit dwells in him. Now, as he can let that spirit grow, and take out all the roots of bitterness, and press God's way through him again, he can become back in the same condition that he was when he was in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Now, we've got a little problem. We've got a little bit of a problem. Roll that back down to where we make sure and see it. A little white button starts in his heart. Now, that part is God. When he's born again with the Spirit of God, God's Spirit dwells in him. And now, as he can let that Spirit grow, we're in you. Where? In your soul. That's what he just said. Let that spirit grow and take out all the roots of bitterness. But Brother Dale, I always thought that everything went out so much till there wasn't nothing left in the soul but me and God. And don't put it to be God having any bitterness. So make sure you understand the story. If there's anything in our soul besides God, it's me and you. That's what I've tried to get you to think about. If the new birth is a mystery, then here's the mysterious part of the new birth. That there are still problems. That after you're born again, you can have some bitterness. Don't worry about it. Hold your point now. Just flag that button in your mind and hold on a minute. And press God's way through him again. He can become into the same condition he was in the Garden of Eden. So evidently he must not be in the same condition. Okay. Well, Brother Dale, I thought the unclean spirit, root of evil, went out at sanctification. Right. I thought the baptism of the Holy Ghost burned out everything that was like him. It is. Now, were you going to believe your prophet? When he says you're born again, it's like a little button. And the more you let that grow in there, the more it's going to push out the root of bitterness, not the root of evil, not the unclean spirit, because God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. So I want to get that in there before you ever start that computerized brain of yours thinking. And say, well, he don't believe, I taught it and believe it. The prophet taught it. The unclean spirit goes out. That's sanctification. But there's still parts of us left. And the Holy Ghost comes in to burn out the rest of us, right?
Amen.
And put a little button. A little white button. What for? Let that spirit grow. Now, is that, let that spirit grow, what is this message here called?
Amen.
The stature of a perfect man, which is, means the growth, right?
Right.
Am I right now? Come on. Let's see if I need to. All right. We'll put it right there and stop. So now, if you're following what I'm saying, it's easy to think, to follow the upper part of that, to think about, well, God just puts this little bitty thing in like a button. You know, all of you was kind of, I can read faces, maybe not smart enough to read it all, but you kind of was going along with that. But then when I said, the prophet said, let that spirit grow. Well, if it's a little button, you know, the size of a little button, there's your growth development. There's your stature of a perfect man growing in grace and knowledge, as we'll get to in a minute. Do you believe in that? You believe in growing in grace and knowledge? You believe in being born again? Okay. Go ahead to number 7. The uncertain sound, preached 1960, 12:18. And yet the man somewhere down in him, somewhere in him, if he could only let that little, as I illustrated it, like a button. When a man's saved, that much of him is God. What? The little button. Right? Well, I really am confused now, because I thought when I got the new birth, I got it all. No. The Bible says you got the earnest of your inheritance. Right? We're still in the Bible. Okay? I illustrate it like a button. When a man's saved, that much of him is God. That's the little light that comes in here, and it comes in to make you quit doing what's wrong. Oh. You mean you need it? After you're born again, you need something to keep you from doing wrong? I'll ask you to go to and get them and listen. There's, I think it's 5 or 6 messages that Brother Branham preached. That's called Doors in Doors. Now he's talking about it and he says they're the new birth. He's the born again Christian. Doors in Doors. But he says you've got the doors closed. Oh. You're a Christian? You got the doors closed?
Yep.
That's what your prophet said. Amen. He said, now you look right in there on the right hand side. You know how I run around, I love you, he'll illustrate. He said, right in the inside there, that heart and soul, you know. He said, you got a little place there called pride.
Yep.
Well, that, every bit of that pride and everything went out of me when I got born again. That's not what your prophet said.
Amen.
Boy, you have made the new birth to be an odd situation to think about. But is it the truth? Whether you like me or not, I don't care. Whether or not this word is right and I try to preach it the way he says it, there's where we'll stand. Then you're going to have to argue what he says. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, now, where did that give you the right to say that? What kind of a spirit would it be for you reading Brother Branham's message to show what happens and you say, why does it matter to me? I don't care. That means that spirit is of the devil.
Right.
Oh. Now you are getting hard on us. Not hard enough. Because I ain't cracked about most of you yet. You're still sitting looking. When it cracks on you, you'll find out. And you'll see why it's took so long. 50 years to preach this message. Huh? Come on. As I've illustrated, like a button, when a man gets saved, that much of him is God. That's the little light that comes in to make you quit doing what's wrong. Now, if you can take all the malice. When I got born again, I don't have no malice. I tell you what, it just bothers me. I got righteous indignation. But not malice or hatred. Come on, church. You can take all the malice and envy and strife. Like I said, you're not listening. You're trying to refute because you're still back there about 15 minutes ago where you said, Brother Dale, you taught us that Brother Branham says that unclean spirit goes out and the Holy Ghost comes to burn out what's left. That's exactly right. Because right now, the Word of God is either cankering in you or me, or it's burning out. Malice, envy, strife, and things is supposed to be burning out of us now. Come on. But I didn't think I had any. Bless God, you can't tell me. I was born in this message. Well, hallelujah. Just don't die in it. And I don't mean that backwards now. I mean it right. Make you quit doing what's wrong. If you can take out all the malice and envy and strife. You mean there's malice, envy, and strife in a born-again Christian? That's what he's saying. I mean, come on. The wife says something to you and you go, bless God, she ain't got no run. There's a little malice, envy, and strife. There's little things that's inside of there that ain't been took out. And like I said, if you'll do what I ask, you'll see what I'm talking about. Go get all those messages on doors and doors and see what your prophet said. He said, you got pride left. Now, here's one that's hard in there. I just reading it today. He said, you go inside and look over on the left side maybe or something. And he said, there's faith. He said, just don't you mix with my faith. That's what your prophet said. Did we say, God, don't you mix with my faith? In other words, I believe what I believe. I don't care what it is. I believe it. That's the way I believe it, and I'm going to stay with it. My mom said it. I'm not against her. She said, I was born a Baptist, and I'll die one. Well, how many people make statements like that? All right. But this is what I like. The malice, the envy, the strife, and unbelief out of that little button, lack of the light and power of God will keep growing, 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 growing. Can I go back here and say growing? Growing, 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 growing. It's growing. Growing in grace and knowledge. Growing. Crowding out unbelief. I ain't got no unbelief. Okay. And you don't do it by exhortation. Is that how that word is? Enough bodily exercise. You do it by a sanctified, consecrated life. That the Holy Spirit moves through you. I caught some of you in this place not long ago. Now, that's just like sanctification. The Apostle Paul truly was a born-again Christian, right?
No doubt. Amen.
But yet he taught a daily sanctification. Right. What for? Oh, that was just all what he done in his spirit. Oh, that was just doing it in his spirit. Brother Dale, it's just in our spirit where we go wrong. I agree with you. But the prophet said it's on the inward man that needs to do the growing. You don't grow in your spirit. You understand me? You don't grow to take away this. It's got to come out from the inward man and go outwardly. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's see, roll it on up, I think. No, okay, hold on. We're on number 8. That'll be all right. Pull it on up. The Message White, 61:128. Pull it on. Remember, when a man is saved, this much, like this button here. Now, we've already read our 3 or 4. He talks about the little button. So, I mean, we ought to know he knows about the little button. Right? And look what he says. When a man is saved, this much, like this button here, becomes eternal life in your heart. That's God. And as you're able to push out all the roots of bitterness, God, then God begins to spread in you. Then you become a son of God. Okay, write it on up. He's talking about the image and the hands and the feet and the different. What happens? What happened? Because he disbelieved God, God's word. He sent him right back out to shift for himself, talking about one about the kingdoms and things, Genesis. Now look. Now God's trying to bring him back. And when you have faith and accept him, my brother, just let that little light begin to grow out, taking all the roots of doubt and bitterness, yielding yourself to the Spirit. Then you begin to become a son of God, a daughter of God, begin to grow in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit begins to build his kingdom within you. Stature of a perfect man.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Number 9. Go ahead to the next. 1962, 624, super sign. Let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. So now, if we don't have the new birth, we're not going in the rapture. Now, whose fault is it? If we don't have the new birth, we're not going into rapture. I mean, is that what he said? Well, you're just quoting it. Listen, unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. If you haven't got the germ of life in you this afternoon and you're not a Christian, why not you walk right up here, pass by here? What's he talking about? Go ahead. So what do we actually get when you're born again? A little white light. A little spot, we call it. And it needs to grow. All right. Now let's read what the scripture says about this new birth. Now all of these is about the new birth, not about just justification or something coming unto. This is the new birth. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who also hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts. So what do you get when you're born again? An earnest. What is an earnest? A down payment or part payment, right? Do you get the fullness? No. No. You just got the part payment. You start. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Okay? Keep on going. Ephesians 1:13, in whom we also trusted after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's sure enough to know it's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God, right? And what did he say? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Is that scripture? Okay, where are we at? 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Are we able to bear it? Can we follow it? Or do we get our feelings hurt because something don't go our way? Come on. Go ahead to the next. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. Of whom we have many things to say. He's talking about Melchizedek. And hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Christians, dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. With strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What about it? Go to the next. What do we got? 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. We'll pick this up this weekend. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How can we ever do it? See, there was no one able, I'm going to say this, whether you like it or not, it's all right. No one would have been capable of attaining to the stature of a perfect man had Brother Branham not come.
Amen.
I've said that from day one. I still say it. Had Brother Branham not come, no one could have reached the stature of a perfect man.
Amen.
And listen, plain language, he could not have done it himself unless he was a prophet that the word of God could come to teach him how to climb that pyramid. I'll do that myself. Because I'm talking about the man that brought us this message. See, we have the message. We just need to believe it. All right. What are we doing? Did we get it all? One more quote, we'll finish it. Go to number 19. Well, back up to that. Back up. We missed one. Back up. There's one scripture. Therefore, laying aside all malice. Oh, why didn't thou know malice? The prophet said, you have malice. We need to let it grow and get rid of the malice. Right? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, open the doors of our heart. Doors and doors. And envies and the evil speakings. What? As newborn babies. What about it? Desire the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. Newborn babies. We start as babies. We start in the body of Christ as babies. I tried to tell you over the years why on the day of Pentecost, 120 in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost come onto them. And Brother Branham said they had these virtues, but they didn't have the headstone. Now, we'll get back to that. So the disciples had these virtues, but the 3,000 outside received the new birth only as faith because they could not talk the word of God. They only heard one message. Let's see what this last one. Okay, we'll go to that. Go to 19. Revelation chapter 5, part 2, 61, 6, 18. I got some scriptures and comments and so forth wrote down here. Now in Ephesians 1, 13, 14, if you want to write it down, that we have now the earnest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The new birth is an earnest. In other words, listen, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, it is the assurance. The earnest is the assurance, the down payment that we have been received into Christ. It is the blessed hope and insurance. I guess that's insurance. Okay. Looking at it sideways. That we do have eternal life and are heirs of everything that he purchased for us. Oh my, can you see it? What does the next one start on Sunday? Romans 8. Romans 8. What is it? Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, I'm not against people in their talking to me about their experiences. What I'm against is when those things rile up that don't work out too good. Now I'm going to read this because I wrote it down. So I'll read my own notes. I would have given you a copy, but you couldn't read it. I would have to tell you what it said. Sister Johnny one time, she said, let me take all of your messages and type them in the computer. See, I've got every message that I've ever preached. Abby Grace was looking at me like, what, puppy? I got a tote like this. In every sermon that I've ever preached, I got the notes. So you want to know what I preached in the 60s, 70s? I'm well in the 70s. I've got them. But I told her, I said, what would be any good? I'd just have to move into your home and tell you what I said and let you type it off. Okay. Now listen. Now here's where we started. Some believe that you're born again when you believe, or at justification, or even sanctification. Some people believe that. Whereas others believe you are not born again until you receive the capstone or headstone in the pyramid of love. That's the vast difference between what a lot of people believe. One believes here, some are in between. I can't see neither of these as to be right. Okay. But there is a way. But I do believe that you can be justified by believing on Jesus Christ and to even to also be sanctified. And if that is genuine justification and sanctification, or truly so, that if you die in that state, you will go to heaven and receive eternal life at the great white throne. Which means you are not in the body or bride. You're not in the kingdom at justification and sanctification. No. You are believing unto, but do not possess the new birth. But I believe when you are truly born again, you are in the kingdom of God with eternal life. But you are waiting the adoption. You are a son of God by the new birth when you're born. Just like a natural child is a, you know, by new birth, you're born into the body of Christ. Amen. You're a son of God, okay? But not positioned in the body like you will be at the completion of the adoption. Amen. Brother Branham, what outside of this day, I'm quoting it, paraphrased, but he says, what outside of this day is it said about the manifestation of sons and daughters of God outside of this age? Because everything's waiting on this age. Okay? I believe you are born again at the place on the pyramid called faith. Then you must grow up into him which is the headship. See, then you are born again by the new birth. See, if you're born again anew by faith, and you can be baptized into the body for gifts. Because that's what your prophet said.
That's right.
He said, I believe you're born again. But he said, then you're baptized into the body for gifts.
Sure.
That's true. That's adoption. Mm-hmm. See, then at that, like you have truly been accepted of God. It'll come a day that we're truly accepted of God. I believe that. Looking forward to that day when he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Aren't you looking for that? Come on, musicians. Let's stand. Got done quicker than I thought. Okay. Now you can go outside for an hour and a half and talk about where I was so wrong. And what I said was wrong. Just remember one thing. What we say is on record. It's on record. And we'll give account of the record. Brother Branham said one person in a church, enter that church. He said, you'll answer for it. So you say, well, are you trying to scare me? No, no, no. Don't worry about it. It's not made to be a scare tactic. It's made to be a soul saving.
Amen.
I'm trying to save your soul, not scare you.
Amen.
But just be careful what you say. Because may I say it this way and let it go? Is it not true that the order of events is supposed to be that if you have a problem, you are supposed to go to that person to work out that problem, if you can. All right. But now, it's not right for a woman to go to a man and straighten him out, whether he be preacher or not. You're in danger of God because you're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to go to your husband. This is the prophet's words. Let your husband go to the pastor or whatever, and then I can say something about it. See, I bypass a lot of it and don't say nothing, but be careful. Just don't get yourself in trouble with God because you don't agree with what's said. Come to me. Bring your husband and come to me. Or husbands, you don't have to bring your wife. You come yourself. And let's talk it over. Because I believe I've told you the truth.
Amen.
And see, then that's the danger part. Is when we think we can straighten out these things. You know yourself what I'm saying is right. The woman is never to be to straighten out the man. Well, you mean I can't straighten my husband out? Go to the pastor and let him deal with it. But now for a woman to say something to a minister about what they've preached, you're in danger with God. That's as well as I can say it. In love and respect to everyone. We bring damnation upon our own self. I love that in the communion. Where it tells you about those things. And says, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body is his people and his word. You've heard me mention some of these brothers that have left. But I had every right to, as pastor, to tear them to pieces with the word of God. But I've never done it. What they've done is their business. That's their choice. See, but I am responsible to tell the truth. And if you don't like it that way, like I said, then I'm not your pastor. But you see, you want to come. That's the way my family is. That's pretty good. My family don't agree with us on the word, but let one of them get sick. Right? Let something happen. They get sick. They come across railroad track. Don't you pray for them. that's good. I don't have any problems. Because that's the way it ought to be. We ought to live close enough to God to where the neighbors can see God and want to come to us if we have a need of something. We ought to go to our fellow brothers and sisters. But just remember, we are responsible for our actions and deeds as we're here in this world. What do we got?
He abides. 139.
He abides. Anybody have a need?
I'm rejoicing night and day
as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see.
Get a prayer cloth. I'm going
and
down.
Raising up my bliss. Yes, the secret all is this. That the Comforter abides in me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day.
Hear of in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Have no peace within.
Till I learn how Jesus died upon the tree.
Then I fell down at
his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides me. He abides. He abides. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides. He was with me everywhere, and he knows every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings.
Long ago I gave them up and instantly.
All my night is turned to day,
all my burdens
rolled away.
Now the Comforter abides in me. Right. He abides. Glory. Abides. Hallelujah. He's finished it by committing it to you and believing you. So by your stripes, our brother is healed in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Comforter abides. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides in me. Not with me. I don't want him with me. That's wonderful. I want him in me. I hope you'll listen or think about this message tonight. Because we'll start on the statue of perfect man. We got to go right back, get that little baby, that little Ernest, that little point, that little button, and start from right there in our Christian journey to bring us to the statue of a perfect man. You remember what the prophet said? Pentecostals thought they got it all, but said they didn't. He said they just got to a place to start. Right? Why? Because he had to come and bring the message. I hope you're listening to that. See, there's no hope outside of the prophet being who he said he was and what God declared. Because there's been no hope for any organized religion or anything. You say, well, I'm not organized religion, bless God. What are we? What are we? If we do like organized religion, we have an organized religion spirit. Father, we just thank you for today, and we ask you to be with us, and Lord, help us all. Be with the people to listen to what's said. Not to try to figure it out, but listen and believe it. And thank you. Let you figure it out, because you told us what it was right through the mouth of the prophet. And what a wonderful an opportunity to see those things written right out into the Word. And all we have to do is follow. But help us to be, Lord, as newborn babes, to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and to be led of you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.